The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. And welcome back. It's Red Pill Politics, hour number 2. Thanks for tuning in. It is Sunday, November 5th, and we've jumped right into something that I've been wanting to talk about on the show for a while, is the potential for these terrorist cells to just be growing, percolating here below the surface in America. I mean, all of the individual parts are there for this to be a catastrophic, history-changing cataclysm that we are right on the heels of. And I am not sure if the average American has the intestinal fortitude to deal with it and fend it off. And how many of you out there, because we're a society now where everyone's got depression and needs a pill to cope, is what happens when your pills stop coming and when so many people are in a panic? I mean, when they talk about a zombie apocalypse, I see it. I could see that. People, drug addicts, for example, just simply because the flow of drugs is interrupted. How many people are going to be jonesing out in the street, breaking into your house, assaulting people? It is not going to be safe to walk the streets in this country soon. That's my prediction. I don't know. We got some callers starting to stack up. We are going to hop in and take some calls. If you would like to call in, 512-248-8252. Right now, we're going to start with Mike from Arizona. How are you, Mike? You're on the air.
I'm fine, Dave. I got a couple of things, thoughts that I'd like to share. A couple of weeks ago, you had talked about what happens when the food runs out and you can't do this, you can't do that, and then the government shows up with their food truck or their distribution center. And I fully agree that, you know, we don't want to necessarily have to eat out of the trough that the government wants us to eat out of. But let's say, for instance, maybe the government has a list, like a phone book or people that pay property tax. So in a certain area, they have a complete list of basically everyone that lives there. And so you've got all the people in the area showing up for their food box from the government, getting their government cheese. And then they'll start noticing that there's a few names that are missing here. And they're going to send somebody out and want to know why, or they're going to look in your backyard to see your garden or your chickens or something like that. So my thought process goes that instead of trying to stay at home and not accepting the government handout to keep from being cross-checked on a list, it might be a good idea that you would go there and beg for your food, even if you bring it home and throw it in a hole and set it on fire or feed it to your dogs or what have you. But it's just a one way of having visitors that you really don't want on your property.
No, you make a good point from a purely a strategic point of view is, make them think that you are compliant, obedient, and all that stuff, and try to blend in, you know, gray man into the woodwork. But at the same time, it's like fishing online. when they look to get some kind of a reaction, the spammers, to get some kind of a response from you, validates your presence, that you exist behind that email address. So in doing this would certainly validate that you do exist where they think you do. But there is some strategic advantage to that, where one person in a household could go in and take some government cheese, for example, and, you know, have a house full of their relatives who are in transit. So, yeah, I do think also, as much as I harp on prepping and, you know, people being active and putting up enough food and preps of all kinds, you kind of got to be quiet about it, too. You know, you can encourage your neighbors around you to the extent that you can. Like I said, you know, go ask your neighbor if he wants to go with you to the farmer's market and load up. That's all well and good, but don't give away what you have. You know, good people in desperate times will do bad things.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things is, especially now when there's food banks and things, you can always get some food and give it to your neighbor to help, you know, break the ice and things like that. And because down the road, those people in the back of their minds, they're going to be remembering that time when you helped them out with some government cheese. And then they're less likely to try to come over and take what you have. But you're touching on the southern border. And I thank you for that, being that I live here in Arizona. I've been ranting and raving about that for at least 20 years, but for the most part, nobody seems to care until they start showing up in droves in New York, and then everybody wants to. But some of the things that I've noticed, and I don't listen to these people per se, like the Hannitys and the Gorkas and the rest of them, to get any information. Sometimes I monitor those frequencies to hear what they're talking about. It would be like going to the ADL to see what they're up to. Not that I'm a big fan of any of them, but this event that had happened over in the Middle East, there's a certain thought process that basically they let it happen. Oftentimes right after it had gone on, they says that, oh, it was an intelligence failure in Israel and the United States, that we didn't see these things. And what I see is going to happen is they're going to want to spend more money. They're going to have more USA Patriot Acts. They're going to hire more agents because, you know, gee whiz, we can't have an intelligence failure. So it's just going to be more and more expanding of the government. When
you mean in Israel, right?
Well, here in the United States, too, because they were quick to say about the United States didn't see any of this intelligence about this impending attack. So they're connecting one with the other.
Because Israel didn't show them, because Israel was getting warnings. I think some of it was happenstance, but much of it, I think, was a migrating area of vulnerability, waiting for opportunity here. I think they were all prepared with a response in what they were going to do, but the exact precise time and location, those specifics may not have been engineered. But I think there was a fishy element to this, and then also some of the things may have, you know, some of the movement and stuff may have been by happenstance. So, you know, the truth is it might have been a combination of the two.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, the thing is I hear these people on the mainstream talk shows talking about the southern border, and they go, oh, well, you know, Hamas could be sneaking across the border. Oh, these bad guys could be sneaking across the border. And I'm old enough that I remember a couple of events that had happened back in the 1980s. You had Iran Air Flight 655, and that was going from Tehran to Mecca, carrying a bunch of Iranians to the pilgrimage at the Hajj. And the USS Vincennes shot that aircraft down, the Airbus A300, and killed like 290 people. Then, within about a week, the commander of the ship, Rogers, and his wife lived in San Diego, and a car bomb, or a pipe bomb, was put on her vehicle. It didn't fire right. It only set the vehicle on fire and burned it completely up. But within, like I say, within 1 week, the perpetrators knew who the captain of the ship was. They found out who the wife was. They found out where her car was parked and were able to get close enough as to where they could set that on fire. So that, we know for sure that the Iranians have cells here going back at least into the 1980s. And then, as another example, it has to do with Iran.
Are you worried about that now, being in Arizona and actually witnessing, you know, reality over the course of a couple of decades? Do you see the makings of that, or symptoms, you know, things that could lead to that type of development right now around you?
Not necessarily around here, because usually when these people make it across the border, it's the last place they want to stay. It's like somebody
pretty transitory. They're in and out.
Yeah, if somebody escapes from prison, they don't just hang out trying to figure out what's going on and checking the bus schedule. They're gone. They try to get furthest away as possible as they can. But the other example, this again goes back to Iran and Operation Eagle Claw. That was the rescue with Delta Force to go into the embassy. Then what happened there with the helicopter crash in the C-130, and they left quite a few aircraft helicopters there, the 53Es there, and the people loaded onto the C-130s and left. And within approximately 1 week or so, this was in San Francisco, there was a traffic stop, and somehow they searched the vehicle, and they had discovered classified documents that were on those helicopters in Iran, and within a week they had appeared here in the United States. So once again, when these Hannitys of the world and the Gorkas of the world and the Bonginos, when they're sitting here talking about our unsecured border and what are we going to do, we have to have more agents to protect the border and we need more money and everything, it's like they either are naive, they're either trying to lead us around by our noses because they think that we've forgot about those things, but there's two prime examples of a well-established, well-oiled machine that was operating from Iran all the way here to the United States.
Well, sticking with, you know, me bringing stories from Massachusetts, right after 9/11, they caught a group of Muslims inside of the Quabbin Reservoir in a restricted area. Everything from Gate 8 and Gate 43 in the Quabbin towards the dam is off limits. They were found inside there, and a couple of them, as I recall, were students at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And it was all very hush-hush. No one was ever charged with anything. They were connected to radical extremist groups and terrorists. It was unbelievable. But you're right. I believe they are around all over, and they're exceedingly quiet. You know, they're not the ones you see making a lot of noise out in the streets. I think they're very, very quiet. And we're heading for a bumpy trail, I think. Mike, I appreciate the call. I got a couple backed up here. But I do appreciate you calling in. That was Mike from Arizona. I am totally convinced that they're all around us. I think they're here, and they've been very quiet. I think you're going to find that it's, you know, like where this virtue signaling that we hear from, you know, the squad, for example. They don't have to give direct orders to anybody anymore. All they need is some virtue signaling from complicit people here in the States, from our own Congress. They may very well and probably are in regular communication with handlers in their home nation. But when the right destabilization happens, when we're just distracted enough, whether it's a collapse of the dollar, because it's coming, right? Not if it's going to collapse. It is collapsing, and they're prepared to usher you right in to a digital currency and get you all chipped up. All right, they already have the solution to their problem and know what your reaction should be, what they're hoping they can get out of you with a proper fear level, of course. They'll be able to. Oh, man, it's all snowballing, folks, and coming right at you. Aren't you glad that you sat back and waited? I don't know. Got one more caller. We're going to go now to Andy from Texas. How are you, Andy? You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thanks, Dave, for taking my call. Hey, welcome to Sunday morning. It's just a little bit different than Saturday night, so welcome.
No, thank you, and I'm finally getting it straight in my head now, too. I kept saying, yeah,
I know. Well, I listened to you for the last few weeks, and I heard you fumble a little bit on there because, you know, you were used to the nighttime. But, hey, you said a mouthful earlier. You were talking about, are we going to just wait until they come into our living room, and then we're going to use our Second Amendment? That is a very bold statement. That's very profound, and people need to think of that. Think of what they've done to your families. You, everybody, I'm guessing, most everybody knows somebody who's been vaccine injured, vaccine killed. It's all this stuff. And so what are we going to do? We're just going to sit around in our living room and wait? Hey, how are you going to kill me today? Especially what we're watching the news for. We want to find out how they're going to kill us today.
They're getting ready to again, and there's what's not being discussed. I can't believe this either. Is the World Health Organization? Unless they hear from America and other nations of the world, pretty soon, it's going to be just assumed that they're on board with the pandemic treaty, with modifications to the international health regulations, which really is the end of the Constitution and sovereignty for us. Even though it's kind of an illusion, a thinly veiled illusion, right now.
Yeah,
we give it all to the UN. And what I recommend, since we bring this up, is that individuals start putting pen to paper again and write a letter to The Hague. Let them know we have actually been providing instructions to our public servants who have turned on us and are not following their instructions. Therefore, it is incumbent upon me to warn you that I am not accepting any jurisdiction with the World Health Organization in my life, period. They will be resisted. They are unwanted here. Our public servants have turned on us and will not communicate that to the global community. And tell The Hague what's coming. We will not comply. Not consent, will not comply.
Well, and that's great advice because, you know, essentially the biggest word in the American language is only two letters. It's no. I'm not going to do this. No.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. I'm out of here. Whatever. But see, we live in a world that's controlled, and you and I both know that. We're controlled to look at all the things you're giving us. You're giving us avenues to go and fix this stuff. Go see your congressman. Go do this. Do that. Do this.
And right, at least got to tell him. We got to do something, even if because our politicians do it. I'm not afraid to write a letter to The Hague.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that it is going to come to the point where as soon as they come through your door, that's when you're going to use your Second Amendment. And, of course, they're not just coming with some – they'll let those guys get killed when they come through the door. But they're going to bring something else against you because they want you gone. And that's the thing is that this is an extermination not just of humans but of all plant life, all animals, everything. They're destroying everything. It's almost like they've been on another planet before and destroyed it. And they're like, hey, let's go to this one and kill it too. That's what we're living under, in my opinion. We're living in a spot where these people, all they care about is Magog and Agog or whatever those people are, those people at the head of the thing.
People are fixing it on their own. We've become an entertainment-based society, and I've said that and I mean it. We have been more fixated on our comfort because people will do things. They'll actually put up with lesser levels of treason so that there's not a blip in the scale in their comfort. It is unbelievable.
Yes,
treasonous exactly. acts, and those things were supposed to be rejected and repelled and fought against, big and small, those little ones especially, because they're just little steps and incremental steps. And if you let them keep taking incremental steps, pretty soon they're taking your guns and they're watching you through your phone. And here we are.
Exactly. And that's exactly where we are right now. And what we're in, we're not even actually living our own lives anymore. These people are dedicated themselves to turning us into who they want us to be. Those commercials, I mean, pizza, we got to have pizza. You got to go to, you know, Sonic and get a burger. They're turning us into just the average Joe Schmoe with the app on their phone. And we can move from here to there, and we can do this with our apps. We don't even have to. I could sit here and get fat.
Well, you're not going to be able to text anybody but the government. You're going to start getting feeds where you're texting, and you go to use your web browser. I don't care what browser you use. The only thing you're going to get is the government website providing with instruction.
Oh, I said that a long time ago on RBN. I said, you know, pretty soon you'll turn your phone on because everybody needs their phone. They'll turn their phone on. And they won't be able to.
This week, all the odd side of the street where you live in Main Street America, you go to your post office and get your chip. And then all of you on the even side of the street, and then, you know, like the first caller said, you know, let's take a little government cheese just to let them know that we're obedient, or let them think that. And I understand that as a strategy, but, you know, are we really going to do that? Are we really going to take that chip when we're told to? When people are going to freak out, Andy, I promise you. You're going to see panic. All these folks that thought that they were awake and prepared and all that, the moment their gadgets stop doing those things that they are going
to
freak out. I can't call my...
Yeah, that's the thing. I've been talking on the radio for a minute, and obviously you know that because I used to call your show emphatically. But when it comes to, it's going to come down to the phone. Eventually, the phone is just going to turn on, and all you're going to get is what you just said, government. That's it. And that's the reason they got us in here.
Everything. It's like they said in Event 201, it's going to be sensory overload. It's absolutely everything. Every magazine, every newspaper, every website. Like I said, when you open your browser to go on Al Gore's internet, it's only going to go to a website where you know where you get your food, what the water rationing,
exactly.
What time you got to be in at night, when the vaccine truck is going to come by your street. Oh, yeah.
And we'll fall right into it, too, Dave. We'll fall right into it. Because all we care about is this thing in my hand right now that I'm talking to you on. We got freedom to go to anywhere we want to go with these websites and stuff and whatnot. But when they take that away, well, we're already, we love our phones. So we'll already be like, okay, wait, this is all I can do now? Oh, the government tells me I can get cheese today. The government tells me I can get water today. The government tells me this and that. And we'll still be connected to our phones. Even though we can't connect with all the stuff that we used to do, our emails, our text messages, all this stuff, we won't be able to do that anymore. But because the government provided something for us, and you know what? I won't be surprised that you never have to charge your phone again. They'll charge it through the air. They'll use Tesla to charge your phone.
When I mention homing pigeons now to people, they don't laugh at me anymore. There was a period where people, oh, really, that's a little bit much, don't you think? There'll be a day where I can't just hit speed dialing and dial my buddies. And I say, yeah, there is going to be a day where that doesn't happen. So,
exactly.
Hey, let me ask you a question. My last caller was from Arizona. You're from Texas, another border state. Do you see the makings of cells in your area, or is it kind of transitory, like was described in Arizona, where, you know, when you break the law and you cross the border, the last thing you want to do is stay there? Are they pretty much rushing through Texas, or is there a potential for there to be cells, especially in some of the cities, to do some bad things. What's your observation from there?
Well, my observation is I'm in a tourist town, Fredericksburg. I'm down here with Stephen Allen, and it's a tourist town, and this is a bunch of rich people. There's Teslas going everywhere. There's Lamborghinis. There's Porsches and stuff. It's a very rich town, everything. So I think this is going to be one of the societies that are left behind, so to speak, because, well, there's a lot of hunters here, too. I've met a lot of people who like guns, and that's really good, in my opinion. But no, I have not seen. The influx is that almost everybody who's doing construction work is Mexican. I don't know if they're illegal or they're here legitimately, and, you know, frankly, I don't care. As long as I can find some work and make a few bucks here and there and stuff, I don't. But, yeah, no. I know that there's a town in the southern part of Texas, just outside of El Paso. They had 10,000 people was their population, and now they're at 30,000. So, yeah, we're being invaded. There's no doubt that this is an invasion. Who knows who these people are coming from? You know, Venezuela, South America,
look at
wherever
this
they're coming from, we have no idea.
You wait the next time that you go through and do the census, right? Because everybody, even illegals, notes that they are a presence there, and you're going to see all these progressive districts are going to get a heap of your tax dollars just based on the population explosion.
But Dave, is it really our tax dollars at this point? We're $32 trillion in debt here. Is that our tax dollars? No, that's them printing money. It's not our money anymore. You know, once they went into a deficit, I mean, look at 2000.
It never really was. Because it isn't the money that serves the people. It's the people that serves the money. So, you know, exactly. It isn't our money. It's the banksters. And we let them get away with it.
In 2000, Dave, we had a $7 trillion deficit. Now we're in 2023. We have a $32 trillion deficit.
33.
Is that not crazy? I mean, How did we even get to a deficit in the first place? The thing was, we were supposed to print our own money. There'd be no deficit at all. They printed their own money.
Who's
the Treasury
crazier?
Printed the money.
Who's crazier, the big government spending addicts or the people? You know,
yeah, we're crazy because we're allowing
does.
Them to do it. Yeah.
The craziness is on our part. It's insane for us to think you can spend your way out of a deficit. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Hey, so just to recap, though, you said a mouthful. Are we just going to wait till they come crashing through our door and then we'll use our Second Amendment? Something has to happen here. But you know what? I don't know what it is. Why? I mean, with all
civil
these
disobedience,
Jews and
you
all
said
this
it earlier.
Stuff.
The shortest word, no. You know, civil disobedience has always led the way in every great revolution. Always.
And January 6th so proved that we can't get away with civil disobedience.
No.
All right. Hey, thanks for your time, Dave. Important. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And Andy from Texas, everybody. We got a couple more minutes left in this segment. And then right after that, we'll be fielding a call from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts right here in my backyard. But yeah, this is one of the questions I got today for folks is, you know, do you think there is the potential for there to be foreign policy blowback in your state? Are there cells in your state? And I say that you're going to be hard pressed. There may not be many in Texas and Arizona because they are on the border and they rush through, but there may be some there nonetheless. All right, we got a quick break coming up. This is Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Stay with us, hit that share button. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thanks for tuning in to Red Pill Politics, a show that is not FDA approved. This can only mean one thing, probably won't kill you, and you just might learn something. Welcome to the show, and welcome to republicbroadcasting.org. This is a network where you can get all kinds of great information 7 days a week. Just head over to the website, and what you will find is a complete calendar of all the programs and when they air, an archive of each of the programs that you can listen to and share. And there is a one-click player on every page of the website. So simple that even progressives can listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I want to point out, it is the two-year anniversary of the passing of John Stadmiller, the founder of this network. And I would sincerely appreciate it if you like the show and the other programs you get here. Show it by showing your support. If you can do it, please do head over to the store. Purchase some of the things there. Support our sponsors. There's a book drive that's going on that you're certainly going to want to get involved with. So please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Have them saved in your favorites. And support the outreach. All right, we got to get this the word out. We have got to make part of the public debate those things that the prostitutes are leaving out. So we were talking about terrorist cells. We were talking about the how feminism has destroyed what it is to be a woman. All right, and how, you know, this is cultural Marxism at work. We're just slowly being taken over like a cancerous tumor that's metastasized all over the body politic, all over it slathers your family. All right, it's everywhere. And the two-letter word that will put us on the track to fixing that is no. All right, that was brought up by our last caller, Andy from Texas. No. All right, to revoke any real or implied consent for any of their tyranny, every time they butt their nose in where it doesn't belong, right? And they keep referring government back to Article 1, Section 8, and say, focus, behave, right? Because they're like children. You do have to treat them like a five-year-old. I mean, you wouldn't give a five-year-old a sack of broken glass and razor blades to play with. You can't give government the power to create law and policy, ordinance and code, and just cut them loose, which we've done. Damn, we just got to stop. We're going to say, no, we've made a horrible mistake in trusting you, you liars. Look at the CDC and the stuff they're putting out. I cannot believe the executives have not been tried and literally put in jail for the rest of their lives for what they've done. You don't even recognize when they're under attack anymore. I don't know. Let's get back to the callers. Next caller is Dave from Massachusetts. How are you today, Dave? You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Dave. Hey, I agree with, all the topics you've brought up and your apprehension, you know, about how we're being infiltrated and blah, blah, blah. But that's not really why I called. Dave, what I wanted to run past you, but it's all interrelated, but, you know, the Israeli Mossad, Dave, as you well know, their motto is, by way of deception, thou shalt make war. By way of deception, thou shalt make war. Dave, I'm here to tell you, I'm absolutely convinced that on October 7th, alleged attack by Hamas on Israel, it's the mother of all October surprises. There are different types of October surprises, but this was an October surprise, and this is the mother of all October surprises. And nobody can convince me that Mossad and Egyptian intelligence and MI6 of Britain and our CIA and our multiple intelligence agencies, naval intelligence, and all our satellites, and nobody can convince me that a ragtag band of Hamas terrorists could launch an attack without anybody in the world, without any of the intelligence agencies catching wind of the impending attack. And it went on for hours and hours, for 7 hours before Israel even responded. No, Dave, I'm here to tell you that October 7th attack, it was staged. It's a false. It's completely staged by Israel on Israel. It's an attack on Israel by Israel. And it's a perfect example of how the Mossad, by way of deception, they shall make war. Yeah, they've got everybody tricked. They made war upon themselves for their Hegelian dialectical response to exterminate and genocide the Palestinian people. And, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, you know, they create the problem so they can provide the solution. But in this case, they created the problem so they can provide the final solution. The final solution to the Palestinians. Just total extermination and genocide. No, I know damn right well that Israel attacked itself. Yeah.
Most of it's absolutely... It is absolutely among the possibilities. Israel, many nations have used false flags and engineered, like you said, problem, reaction, solution. So I absolutely agree with you that this was not, especially in its entirety, by chance. You know, like with 9/11, they may not have engineered into it that date, although it's possible, but it's not necessarily a fact. But they set in place the conditions needed for, at some point in time, they knew what the outcome was going to be. They don't always nail the timing down. In this case, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. It's still early. We're getting all kinds of skewed information. Again, I point people to the independents out there, those that are locals on the ground to see what's going on. They've lived in either camp. But, you know, I've become pretty calloused about this. I'll share this with you. At this point in the game, there is nobody without guilt, nobody without blood on their hands. There has been geopolitical foolishness and disrespect for human life on both sides of this. What I think needs to happen is a clear delineation between the Zionist Jews and the non-Zionist Jews and Hamas and the non-supporting Palestinians. You know, and take the Hamas and the Zionists and put them all on Epstein Island, all right, with no weapons, okay, no killing people from a distance. Sit there and beat physically with your hands, beat yourselves to death, fight it out. Give them, I tell you, I'm not about conquering other islands and territory, but man, give them a friggin' island, put them on Plum Island or something, and just let them have at it. Because I do believe that there's regular people, Jewish people in Israel, that just don't want nothing to do with this foreign policy and this aggression. And there are probably Palestinians that are the same way. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, the Palestinians, any place where they've gotten a little bit of foothold, they destabilize, try to take over the damn country. You know, there has to be a way that these people can exist together. And if not, don't drag the whole world into it. Go somewhere and fight it out to the death. But I'm sick and tired of it. These skirmishes and this crap with the Middle East has been going on forever. And the United States are supporting the killing of people is abysmal. It disgusts me. We support killing of all kinds now. It needs to be about respect for life. What in the hell happened?
Yeah, just for clarification, lest anybody misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that there weren't Palestinian Hamas terrorists, but they were manipulated dupes. Take Egyptian intelligence. They have very sophisticated intelligence. Egyptian intelligence would have got wind of this impending attack, and Egypt would have tipped off the Mossad and would have tipped off Israel. They have a reasonably good relationship as far as mutually fighting terrorism and everything. Even Egypt's intelligence, let alone our intelligence and everything. Somebody would have to be stuck on stupid to think that all the world's intelligence agencies mm-hmm. and they didn't catch wind of this at all. It was just,
well,
just
some of them did. Found out that some of them did and actually warned Israel, and they sat on it. So, there's a portion of this that was preventable and that they allowed vulnerabilities to fester. And, you know, this, they knew the Palestinians are opportunists. that they just waited for a slight little weakness or whatever. And this whole thing stinks to high heaven. The only ones that are going to benefit from this, as usual, are going to be the globalists, the deep state out there. This is part of a ongoing geopolitical strategy. People got to get into foreign policy and geopolitics and participate in that discussion. Again, we as Americans, we the people, are stuck in the infinite minutiae of details of things that are already halfway down the path that we don't want to be on. We've got to back the hell up and really start injecting ourselves into the foreign policy discussion, because it has domestic policy repercussions that everybody is feeling right now, undeniable. So you mentioned something very timely I want to share while I've got it up here on the screen. But the quote that you gave earlier happens to be the title of one of the books that's discounted as part of the sales going on now at republicbroadcasting.org, and that is the book By Way of Deception. So your mentioning of that's very, very timely, and I like to direct people's attention to that as well. You can find that at republicbroadcasting.org, By Way of Deception.
Victor Ostrovsky authored that book, Dave, right? Victor Ostrovsky, the Mossad agent?
I cannot see it on the image I got here. My eyes are failing me. I'm not sure.
That was authored by Victor Ostrovsky.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, you're correct. That is the author. So definitely check that out. That book is available, and will shed further light on the situation. You know, the Mossad are no angels. Okay.
Can I close with a little bit of cynical black humor? I think you'll understand this, but you know, all these Jewish dual loyalists, like Anthony Blinken, for example. You know, they're dual loyalists. This is what I say. These Jews, they believe in a two-state solution. But unfortunately, their definition of a two-state solution is being dual loyalists. Their two-state solution is Israel and the United States. That's their definition of a two-state solution. Okay? Yeah. They're dual, their definition. Yeah, not an Israel and a Palestine, an Israel and a United States. Now, that's why they're dual loyalists. Because they believe fervently in the two-state solution.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, my solution, as I said, is that the people in Israel, the people in Palestine, need to figure out what side they're on. Because I do believe that your average Joe, your blue-collar, average family man, family woman, really just wants to live and be left alone. I believe that, you know, and any society on earth, they just want to do their thing and really be left alone by the powers that be. Those people need to separate themselves from those that simply want to make war. Take your damn countries back, because it is not the average person that wants for this stuff. But, you know, pick a side. I'm tired of Hamas and Palestine being all clumped together. I'm tired of the Zionists and all Israelis and all Jewish people being clumped together. It's just not that simple. It's just not that simple. But the solution is not going to come from those that are doing the killing. Okay, that's not going to be the source of your solution. It's going to be the people again. Yeah. I say that we had the best chance that the system has got its flaws here in the United States. You know, the Constitution has got its flaws. It's got its imperfections, but it's got its strengths as well. And it's based on individual. The understanding that the individual wants freedom and liberty, and the power of the individual, and how combining that with free market capitalism is just a wonderful thing. But that individual sense, that quest for individual freedom, lives in everybody. I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, even there's a famous biblical scripture, Dave, I'm sure you're familiar with, where urged to, therefore, come out from among them and be ye therefore separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So that applies to anybody that's locked into one of these groups. You know, they should get out of these Well, what you're talking about, all these evil groupings of people and everything, and come out from among them and be ye separate, you know? That's what the scripture says, you know? So.
Yeah.
But, you know,
because we all are individual in our own way, and we got to be allowed to be individual. Government doesn't like that. They like the cookie cutter approach right from grade school on up. Dave, last thing I want to know. The last two callers were from southern border states, you hailing from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts here. I suspect your answer might be a little bit different than theirs, but do you think there is the potential here in the Commonwealth for there to be the development of terrorist cells?
Oh, absolutely, Dave. In fact, actually, Dave, I haven't gotten into it, but
Real quick, because I got one more caller on the line. I just wanted to get your thought on that, and then I got to cut you loose, but go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been this Black Lives Matter terrorist organization has destroyed my life and destroyed my whole library. I'm homeless, because the Black Lives Matter, they have power over the police. They've leveraged these white race traitor police because they spearheaded the defund the police movement, and they spearheaded the abolish qualified immunity movement.
Yeah, because the police unions and the school unions on board. That's how this stuff gets pushed into policy. Yeah. Dave, thanks for the call. I got one more to get in the next couple of minutes. We are now going to go to Caesar from New York. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm better than yesterday. I'll make it real short. Listen, Hamas, the Zionist boogeyman, is in reality, it's a Zionist corporation that was registered in Israel in 78, and the Muslim Brotherhood is a Zionist organization as well. This has all been a dog and pony show, okay? Like, what was his name? I forgot his name. Ari Ben Menashe said, okay, that they, by deception, they wage war. I wouldn't be surprised if those guys on October the 7th that did what they did were actually Mossad dressed up like Arabs, because that's their M.O. I mean, remember the USS Liberty, remember the, I believe it was the King David Hotel, the Levant Affair, and we could fast forward to 2000. I mean, you know, listen, we are the great Satan, and they are the little Satan. This is not me. This is Netanyahu's words. Also, if you go to the Times of Israel, Egyptian intelligence warned them that something was going to happen. So, listen, we are all going to be Palestinians. And these radio shows are really not doing anything, because I don't see anybody standing up in this country to this tyranny. And we are being taken down, and it is by design. And I don't see this country being able to come back from this. You got someone just talking about Black Lives Matter. That's George Soros. You have the progressive DAs, which progressive is basically communist. You know, we're working with the Chinese. Listen, it's all a dog and pony show. There is no enemy. It's all a creation to keep the goyim in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, coming from New York, it probably almost not even necessary to ask the question, because we already know that there are terrorist cells in and around New York. I mean, the cities are on fire over there. I mean, this really could go sideways pretty quick should there be an organized effort, you know, from these cells of any types. You're pretty much already there at a rolling boil, aren't you?
Look, what you just said is an understatement. We got Maduro, who opened up the prisons in Venezuela and the insane asylums. We got hotels here, guys sleeping on the sidewalks. Got illegals riding these 122cc bikes with these ski masks, and they have firearms, and they're robbing people in the street. If they're not robbing with firearms, they're robbing with knives. They put it up against their necks. The crime here is unbelievable. the homelessness. We got our own homeless. We don't take care of them. We got these invaders, these illegals, which are men of fighting age coming across the border. They're giving them $500 a day rooms, $2,200 a month, Social Security, free Medicaid. They're giving them everything. And the Americans are sleeping in their cars, eating canned foods out of their trunks. What do you think about that? Okay, this is where we're at. And I know you're saying, you know, you can say, oh, this guy's joking with me. I'm not joking. I am dead serious. I'm here in the communist state of New York with this liberal communist mayor. I mean, this is just unbelievable. You got to see the people in the streets sleeping. It's just,
that's what Boston's turning into. We got Maura Healey as governor and Mayor Wu in Boston, full-blown communist, and it's turned into a complete shithole. Place called Mass and Cass is just a festering tumor right now, and everyone's finger-pointing, and they're just going to relocate it somewhere else where it's not quite as obvious, but we're coming apart at the seams. I've got a couple minutes to wrap up the show here. What's your parting thought, Caesar?
Well, listen, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. You might know much better than I do because you're probably better versed on the paradigms than I am, but I don't see us getting out of this.
It's not going to be an easy path if we do. I agree. We've gone way down the slippery slope. So there's no comfortable, easy way out. That I'm sure of. I'm hoping the American spirit lives in enough hearts where after a battle that the world will never forget, we'll be able to secure liberty here again. But, man, I'm with you. We are in a tough spot, and there's not an easy way out of it. Caesar, thank you very much for the call. It was Caesar from New York. I want to thank all of my callers this week. I had a lot of great call-ins. Dave from Massachusetts. We lost James there, but Andy from Texas, Mike from Arizona. We really appreciate the input. And to the listeners, thank you for listening and sharing around Red Pill Politics. It's great to have you on board here every Sunday. As always, go to our Rumble channel and redpillpolitics.tv for the archives and links to our socials. And do donate at republicbroadcasting.org. All right. Love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. And love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
Beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance. Look for
to the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.